Open up to Mark chapter 4. We've got five verses to cover this morning. We'll see how we do. Mark chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 21. This is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Lord, we just have five verses to work through today, but there's some mystery to them maybe, and I pray that you would reveal them to us. I pray that your word would not just be some ink on a page or something out of history, but it'd be something that you continue to speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts to receive your work this morning, I pray, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Anybody like skipping stones? Like you go to the lake and like that's your thing. I'm just going to stand there and I'm just going to skip some stones. We used to go to a cabin in Michigan while I was growing up, interestingly enough. We're still going to that cabin. 20-some years later, and so now my kids get to do it. But I think one of the things that I learned to do while I was at this cabin at the during the summers was learning how to skip stones. And you know the goal, you find yourself a nice flat stone, and then you try to see how many times you can get it to skip over the surface of the water without actually sinking below the surface. Strangely enough, it seems that some people approach Scripture with the same goal. Like, let's see how many times I can get it to skip off the surface without actually sinking in. Now, that's not actually their goal, of course, but that just kind of happens. You know, our minds take in so many things and try to process so many things during the day that if it doesn't slow us down, if it doesn't stop us and force us to process it, it just kind of skips right off the surface and goes out just as quickly as it came in. Jesus tells his disciples in this passage to slow down, to pay attention, be careful how you listen, or consider carefully what you hear. His words are an incredible gift, but if you waste them, you might lose them. So be intentional about listening to the word of Christ so that his life may grow in you and shine through you. If you will let it sink in, the word of Christ will bear fruit in you. That's just what it does. We've been talking a lot about discipleship in our small groups. Last week in service, we saw that Jesus calls people in order to give them rest. This is a wonderful promise out of Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But it's not just like a physical rest, not just I could, you know, stand to sit down, you know, Miller time sort of rest. I'm not allowed to say that in church, am I? It's okay. It's okay. Christians can have Miller time too. But it's a rest that's not just solved by some relaxation time. It's rest that goes down to the soul. Rest that deals with the busyness and the need, the scrambling for affection and for acceptance and for achievement and for approval. This rest kind of at the heart of our being. And that rest is provided by the presence of God, through that relationship that we were actually made for. That instead of all this scrambling to get accepted and get approved and achieve something, Instead, we discover the relationship with God that we were made for, and in that we find sufficiency. In that we find satisfaction instead of this constant scramble. And it's not a rest that Jesus can just kind of give to you apart from himself, as though it were something you could pick up in your mailbox and he could mail it to you. It comes from being made like Jesus. That as we learn to relate to the Father the way that the Son does, learn to be a child, learn to accept his love, and discover the satisfaction in him, we learn to rest. It comes through a changed life. And so, not surprisingly, Jesus tells a lot of stories about new life. The first half of Mark chapter 4 is a very familiar parable about the sower going out to sow his seed. And where the seed falls on good soil, it grows and it produces fruit. That's what it does. It's good seed. There's never any question about whether the seed is good. The question of the parable is, what kind of soil is it going to land on? And we're not really going to dig too deep into that parable today. It's not really our passage. But you remember what happens. Some of the seed falls on the path and the birds come and eat it up. Those are people that don't really understand the word at all. It just kind of never sinks in at all. Then you've got the people that hear it. It falls along the rocky sort of terrain so that it starts to grow, but there's no depth of soil. It's just rock underneath. And so there's no root. So when things get difficult, they fall away. And then you've got the people that the seed starts to grow, but then it gets choked out by weeds, the worries and the concerns of kind of day-to-day life. But where it finds good soil, that seed grows, it bears fruit. And that's the effect that the words of Christ are intended to have in us. If we give his word good soil to grow in, it will produce new life in us. You know, we often want to be humble as Christians, right? We want to talk about how I'm really no better than anybody else. And we kind of repeat this mantra, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm no better than anybody else. And in one sense, that's true. I mean, we're not saved because we're better than anybody else. You know, we're not Christians because we live better lives than other people. We're saved by putting our faith in Jesus, his blood shed on the cross to take away our sins. Yeah, that's what saves us. We are sinners saved by grace. But if that's all we ever are, then something went wrong. Because his word is not just supposed to forgive sin, it's supposed to set us free from sin. And so that new life of Christ in us is supposed to start transforming us, right? There's something new growing in us that other people don't have. And so if our lives look exactly the same as other people's lives, something went wrong here. It was God's intention to shape us into the likeness of his Son. That's what he talks about in Romans chapter 8. We're being not just forgiven, but transformed. No doubt you've heard of the fruit of the Spirit, right? If the new life of Jesus is in you, it's not something that you're just kind of waiting for when you die. Like, okay, I'll die and then I'll start eternal life. Then I'll be in the presence of God. Then I'll start being more a reflection of who God is. It's already begun to grow in us. Jesus gives his own Spirit to be in us and to start transforming how we live. So like Galatians says, if we have this Spirit living in us, as every Christian does, then it'll produce fruit in us, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. When Jesus talks about his word growing in us, it's not just supposed to like barely be eking out a living that you can actually recognize as a living thing. This is supposed to be something that's growing in us and bearing fruit and being healthy. 30 to 100 times what was sown. So that word that he speaks to us is supposed to be in us in a way that gives us new life, that changes us so that you can see the fruit of it in our lives. But the fruit that the word of Christ produces in us, excuse me, is not only personal life change, it also reproduces itself, right? So the seed that gets planted in us, I mean, you plant a seed in the ground and it grows a living thing and it bears fruit, but inside that fruit is what? More seed, right? So the seed that gets planted in us, after it's grown into something that's alive in us, will be producing more seed that gets planted in the lives of others. One seed planted in us can become 30 or 60 or 100 seeds that we plant in the lives of others. And so the word of Christ shines through you. Kind of a switch of metaphors here. Verse 21 of our text said, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open." What we have been told in secret, Jesus says, I want you to proclaim from the rooftops. And so it's interesting that he says things are not hidden except to be revealed. So, you know, you think, okay, he's explaining to the disciples why he speaks in parables, and he says, okay, to you, the mystery of the kingdom has been revealed, but to them, I speak in parables so that it'll be hidden from them. Why is that? Because Jesus just wants this group of people to hear his message and not these people? No, he says, because I want this, what is hidden, to be revealed. Because he's using this group of people to reveal it to this group of people. So it's not just Jesus doing all the revealing himself. He wants to include us in his work. Nothing gets hidden that he doesn't intend to reveal. He says, what I whisper to you in secret, proclaim from the rooftops. So sometimes we kind of treat the church like a bushel, like a bowl, or you know, one of those things that he says we're not supposed to hide a light under. Yeah, we kind of come in here and we talk about the light, and we share the light with each other, but then we keep these walls closed. And even sometimes I love the stained glass windows. But sometimes stained glass windows kind of close out the rest of the world. And he intends for us not to hide it under a bushel or under a bed or within the walls of a church, but to take the light that we've been given and take it out into the rest of the world. We've been talking a lot about not only being disciples, but also being disciple makers. That one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples before he left was that I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So his disciples are also disciple makers. And the people that they go and make disciples of are supposed to obey everything that he taught them, including making disciples. So to be a disciple of Jesus is also to be a disciple maker. And sometimes we hear that and we think, I don't know about this. I'm getting kind of freaked out just thinking about it. Like, okay, you know, some of us get a little nervous about evangelism. Who wouldn't? I mean, it's not exactly a very welcome message to a lot of people. And yet, there are three things that we talked about in our small groups this past week that every single disciple can do in the process of evangelism. We can pray, both for the preaching of the word and for the reception of the word. We can build intentional relationships with unbelievers and be just be loving towards people. And then we can be ready to give an answer whenever somebody asks us. Okay, every disciple can do that. We can do that much at least. But also, disciple making is not only about evangelism. Okay, evangelism is kind of the start of the disciple making process, and it goes from there toward edifying the new believer in their faith and growing somebody to maturity and equipping them for disciple-making ministry. And so we need not only evangelists, but we need teachers, and we need accountability partners, and we need mentors, and we need people who can equip others, and we need encouragers, people who are gifted at just finding somebody who's struggling and encouraging them and them in their faith.
It doesn't have to be an official role. A disciple is also a disciple maker. So verse 24 then says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Okay, so here's the warning. We've been given an incredible gift in the Word of Christ. But what are we doing with it? Because those that are stingy about giving out what we've been given won't be given. Those that, the measure that we use will be measured to us. And those who have will be given more, and those who don't have, what they have will be taken away. And so if we treat the word of Christ contemptuously, if we treat it lightly, like it's just not even really worth sharing, like it's not that exciting, it's not worth talking about, I'd really rather talk about sports, I'd rather talk about the weather, I'd rather talk about my neighbors, instead of the word of Christ, that word of Christ is not going to make that big a difference in our lives. If we treat it as something lightly, we can't expect it to have a significant impact in our lives. And in fact, a person may stop growing and even possibly lose their faith. Now, I don't want to suggest that the person that does not share the gospel with unbelievers is going to lose their salvation. That's not the point at all. Our salvation is not something that we earn, right? We don't belong to Christ because of things that we do for Him. That's not the idea. But if we treat His Word lightly, if we don't exercise our faith in His Word so that we're living it, so that we're communicating it and letting it bear fruit in our lives, I mean, our faith is going to atrophy just by virtue of not using it, not exercising our faith grows weaker. And for some people, they may discover that they don't really believe it at all anymore. And so, what Jesus says to us is a very important warning for us to take in. Be intentional about listening to the word of Christ. And so, a verse we kind of skip over sometimes. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. This is an incredible gift for a person. And Jesus talks about people that hear but don't understand. Just because a person physically hears it with their ears doesn't mean they have ears to hear. Doesn't mean that they actually are willing to accept it and to listen to it. And for those of us that not only have the opportunity to hear the gospel, which there are some people that don't even have that opportunity, but not only to hear the gospel and not only hear the preaching of Christ's word, but to accept it, to believe it, to receive it. That's such an incredible gift that we need to make sure we pay attention to it. Sometimes we just take it for granted without really setting our hearts on it. And this is, some people will say, okay, I hear what you're saying about, getting into the Word of God and all that. I'm supposed to read my Bible, I know, but I'm just not a reader. Like, I don't care if you're a reader. I don't care if you're going to sit down with a textbook in the evenings and, take in some heavy, intellectual material. I mean, we're talking about the Word of Christ here. This is the Word of life. I mean, people for centuries were not readers. They didn't even have a copy of their Bible. And yet, God says to the Israelites, people that didn't have a copy of the Scriptures for themselves to read, nevertheless, He says to them, do not let this word depart from your mouth. Write it on the doorpost of your house. Talk about it as you walk along the way. You don't have to be a reader to take the Word of God into you. Even if you're absolutely illiterate, you can find somebody that can read to you. And even if you just take in one verse a week, that word can be
soaking in your mind. It can be saturating your thoughts. Whether in small doses or large, we all have access to the Word of God, and we can spend time with it so that it goes with us throughout the week. But don't just listen to it on a superficial level. Okay, some people are absolutely fantastic readers. But if they're taking in, you know, a book of the Bible a day, but they're just kind of skimming over it, just kind of skipping over the surface, it's still not going to be sinking into their hearts. We want to apply it to ourselves personally and do what it says. It's very easy to hold the Word of Christ at a safe distance, where it's not going to mess up what we've got going. It's not going to mess up our day-to-day living. You know, I was power washing at the mission trip last year, and I'm sitting there just kind of spraying it, and yeah, I haven't done a whole lot of power washing, and like it's not getting clean. You know, I'm spraying it, but it's just not getting clean. So get a little bit closer, and it's like, holy smokes, all of a sudden this mold is just like blasting off of the wood. And I can take the same power washer and I can point it at somebody, you know, 5 feet away and pull it at them, and they're going to feel like a nice mist. It's not going to make much of a difference, though, as far as cleaning them up. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's kind of the Word of God. Like, if you take it at a distance where you're far enough away that you're not going to get hurt, it can kind of feel pleasant, but it's not going to clean you up. But it's the point when the Scripture is close enough to hurt, or it's close enough to actually cut into your life, that's where it starts to blast the crud off you. That's where it starts to wash you and actually make you clean. It's easy to come on a Sunday morning and to walk away again thinking, all right, good service. Or no, I didn't like that service. That was not a good service. Or even, you know, I know the person that should have heard this message. Oh, if they had only been here to hear that, they need to get their life in line. But I think I know who that person is too. And guess who it is? It's me. Until I hear the Word of Christ and believe that I'm the one that needs to hear this, I'm the one that needs to be changed by this, it's just going to skip right off the surface. It's not going to sink in. Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear. You have a great opportunity for your life to be transformed by the Word of the risen Christ. You have an opportunity to speak that word into other people's lives, but only if you let it sink in. James chapter 1 says, the person who hears but doesn't do what it says is like a person that looks at their face in the mirror and walks away and immediately forgets what they look like. Are you the sort of person that when you walk out of service, or you put your Bible down in the morning, or you close your Bible in the evening, that when you walk away, it's going to go with you. You're going to carry that with you, and it's going to start changing you. It's going to start equipping you for ministry. Or will you just let other things push it out of your mind? Forget who God says you are. Peter once confessed to Jesus, I love Peter's confessions. He says, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. Is that what you believe? That this word is life, that it's that precious. Treat his words like they give life. Mull them over. Let them saturate your brain until your thoughts start to be transformed into his thoughts. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we come to you to receive your word. And we know as soon as we walk out of the door, even before we walk out of the door, there are going to be countless things clamoring for our attention. our hearts filter through so many things in a day. It's not surprising, I suppose, that rarely do we let your word sink in. Would you give us a desire to be changed? Would you help give us the desire enough that we're willing to make time, whether we memorize it or whether we journal about it or whether we just sit and pray over it? Give us enough desire to be changed by your word, enough value to place on your word that we're willing to make the time to be transformed by it. Lord, you stepped out of heaven to bring us these words. May we not cast them aside lightly. Transform us, Lord, by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.